We have Alicia Hubbard, who is the Director of Education, Gender and Equality, and UK Special Envoy on Gender's Equality. Alicia, good morning and welcome to the Miraya Breakfast. So good to have you here.
Good morning.
Welcome. And also here with us in the studio, we have Helen Grant, who is the Prime Minister's Special Envoy for Girls' Education. Helen, good morning.
Good morning. Great to be with you.
Good to be with you in the studio as well. Just let's go briefly. Can you say what a bit about what your roles as Prime Minister's Special Envoy for Girls' Education and Special Envoy for Gender involves?
Absolutely. Well, my role is to actually globally champion the Prime Minister's message that providing 12 years of quality education for every single girl on the planet is one of the best ways of tackling many of the major issues facing the world today, like poverty, climate change and inequality. And we know these issues matter to countries like South Sudan. They matter all over. And, you know, education is so transformational. The child of a mother who can read is 50% more likely to live beyond the age of five, twice as likely to go to school themselves, and 50% more likely to be immunised. So girls' education is great for girls and women who make up 50% of the population, but also really important in terms of levelling up society, boosting incomes and developing economies and nations.
Mm-hmm. And yes, why does the UK care so much about girls' education in particular?
It's for all these reasons, isn't it, Alicia? Mm-hmm. The transformational impact, you know, what it does for women and girls, but what it does for nations.
Mm-hmm. And Alicia, you're here now for 2 weeks, visiting South Sudan?
Not 2 weeks. I'm here until Thursday. I arrived yesterday, so I'm here for 4 days.
Four days. And now within these 4 days, I believe you've had meetings, talk about education and look at the situation here in South Sudan. So far, what's your impression?
So yes, I arrived yesterday, and we have a very full program ahead of us over the course of the next few days. You know, excellent conversation yesterday with a group of activists, civil society activists, and a group of women who are very much interested in the whole issues around gender equality, including girls' education, issues around how do we stop and prevent violence against women and girls, and indeed how do we empower women, you know, economically, socially, and politically. Mm-hmm. So those are the first sets of meetings that we had, and indeed, as I said, we will be visiting schools, mm-hmm. And talking to a whole range of actors while we're here on the issues around gender equality. So okay. Really looking forward to
all
it.
Right. You'd like to add something, Helen?
Yes, I mean, we had an excellent meeting last night with donors and other supporters, and, you know, there are many challenges here for girls and education in South Sudan, but I'm seeing some very positive initiatives happening. Our Girls Education South Sudan program has supported 650,000 girls with money for direct transfers for sanitary pads, school travel expenses, school uniforms, without which many of these girls would just not be able to attend school.
Yes, and that's what I wanted to ask, actually. Like, what is the UK doing to support girls' education, not only in South Sudan, but around the world?
Well, the UK are doing an awful lot. I'm very proud of what my country is doing. We've helped many millions of girls around the world, including thousands and thousands of girls in South Sudan. The UK is a global leader in terms of education policy and the financing of it. And by way of example, I would point to the fact that our Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, put girls' education at the very heart of the G7 summit, allowing it to get the political and financial commitments it needs and deserves. We also agreed two new, very ambitious global targets of getting 40 million more girls in primary and secondary school and 20 million more girls reading by 2026 in low to middle income countries. And of course, in the summer of last year, we managed to raise with our international partners some $4 billion for children's education, which will help another 175 more young people to learn. So a lot is going on, a lot is happening.
Great. Now, apart from the CAS grant that the UK is providing for, you know, the girls in South Sudan, how else are you supporting girls' education?
Well, we're also the largest donor to an organisation called Education Cannot Wait. It's a very special organisation that helps to keep children learning in times of conflict and crisis. ECDO have done an amazing job all over the world, including in South Sudan. I know here that they've built 113 new learning spaces and distributed over 1 million textbooks to children and other young people. We're also the principal donor to another global partnership called the Global Partnership for Education, who've worked very closely with the government here and other partners to strengthen South Sudan's education system.
Great. Alicia, what else needs to be done to improve education in South Sudan, from what you've seen, what you've heard?
Sure, absolutely. So just to add to what Helen was saying there, you know what I mean, it's a very substantial investment from the British government here, and indeed from other donors as well. And, you know, we have had progress, of course, in South Sudan over the years. In 2020, for example, 2.7 million children were enrolled compared to 1.4 million in 2016. So definitely we've seen that progress. So it's a positive trajectory. We don't have the numbers for South Sudan as such, but I think the focus now has to be on the quality of education, ensuring that children can actually read. So school attendance is important, but at the end of it, can they, you know, what have they learned? What can they read? And as I said, we don't have the numbers for South Sudan as such, but we know in a number of low-income countries across the world, particularly here in sub-Saharan Africa, that about 90% of children cannot read a simple text by the age of 10. So that's quite sobering. And so that's our challenge as national governments across this continent and indeed as a global education community.
Talking about challenges, there are quite a lot of challenges facing girls' education in South Sudan. Some parents up to now still don't understand why they should send their girls to school when they can just marry their girls away and get cattle in return and all that. How do we change this mindset? What needs to be done to ensure that parents look at education as something important for their girls?
Sure, I think, you know, the range of issues, you know, and we've got to work at this at various levels. There's work to be done at the community level in order to begin the work and the advocacy around changing the value of girls. So that's hugely important. And I think when that shifts, then, you know, the importance of education is there. Actually, just yesterday, one of the South Sudanese activists that we met, she was talking about how when she went back to her community as an educated woman, the powerful positive impact that has had. So when we have a few being educated and seeing the impact that they have had, that's also exceptionally positive. But I think more broadly, not only at the community level, but indeed at every level, to think about how do we shift, as you said, the mindset? How do we shift how we value and consider women and girls in society? That's hugely important in order to break down some of those barriers and to get girls into school.
Well, a lot of people have raised concern as well that a lot of, you know, our purpose or a lot of resources are now being put on girls' education, forgetting the boys in the process. Mm-hmm. And these boys grow up, you know, without the capacity to handle these educated girls, and the whole confusion gets on. So Helen, how do you think, Bobs should be encouraged to go to school instead of encouraging girls on?
Girls' education is important, boys' education is important. We want all of our children to receive a good quality education. That is the aspiration. That's what we're pushing for. But it has to be said that, you know, there are many additional barriers that girls face in accessing education. Lots of children don't go to school for different reasons. They might relate to poverty, climate change, you know, conflict. But with girls, there are many additional barriers such as forced marriage, early marriage, FGM, human trafficking, early pregnancy, violence against women and girls. And it's these issues that we really do need to focus on. And of course, the pandemic has affected all of our children, girls and boys, and many, many of those children have had their education disrupted. And what is important for South Sudan and other nations around the world now is to keep schools open where it's safe to do so, and urgently do everything that can be possibly done to recover those learning losses.
Great. Alicia, earlier you did mention that in this visit you will be visiting schools, you know, talking to probably teachers and all that. What are you hoping to take away from this particular visit? to improve, you know, how you handle the situation of supporting girls' education in South Sudan?
Sure, so a number of things. I think, you know, we here, you know, both Helen and I are here and to kind of get a better understanding of the situation in South Sudan, get a better understanding of, you know, what we've achieved as a British government working with a range of other partners and what still needs to be done. So we will certainly, you know, that's certainly very much part of what we're about. I think there's also an exchange of ideas. You know, Helen and I both have global roles. I have a sort of global overview of what's happening on education. And I think to the extent that those exchanges with a whole range of people, we're able to sort of help to chart a way forward to tackle those challenges around girls' education and education more broadly and indeed gender equality. I think that will be a mark of success, I think, for me coming out of this visit.
Great. Talking about education in South Sudan here and right now, even some children are not going to school because their teachers are on strike for, you know, lack of better pay and all that. You're giving cash to the students, like girls. Any support for teachers particularly to ensure that they go to class and as well teach these kids in the right way?
I think schools, as I mentioned earlier, need to be open and where it's safe. There does need to be more focus on quality, because I think a lot of children are attending school but they're not learning enough. And therefore, if we are focusing on quality, we are straight back to teachers, and I think it's really important that teachers are recognised, that they are motivated and are paid adequate salaries on time, and this is something that I hope the government will prioritise.
All right, if you just join us, you're listening to the Miraya Breakfast Show, of course, where the big conversation begins every morning. My guest today in the program is Alicia Hubbard. She is Director for Education, Gender and Equality, and UK Special Envoy for Gender Equality. We have Helen Grant. She is the Prime Minister's Special Envoy for Girls Education, and we are discussing about the UK support to gender equality and girls' education in South Sudan. Looking at other, you know, countries coming out of conflict like South Sudan and how they succeeded with, you know, in education and try to empower more girls and, of course, more boys too. What modality, what do you think should a country like South Sudan, coming from years of conflict, do to ensure that actually education is a priority?
Well, it certainly is a priority, and these are going to be issues that that we will be speaking to MPs about, to ministers about during this visit. That is part of our role as envoys to advocate for the importance of education, and of course a big part of you know, the success is being, you know, domestic governments actually prioritising education. That has got to happen, not being afraid to partner with technical experts so that reforms can be designed around evidence of what actually works, and of course listening to civil society and listening to what girls say they want and need.
Right. I think maybe just to add to that as well, you know, just a few months ago as well, Helen and I were both in Sierra Leone, which is a country that came out of conflict, and, you know, very much, you know, grappling with the challenges of how do you get children into school and indeed how do you prioritise girls' education. And as Helen said, I think it's about a kind of political commitment, that political priority being attached to education, and then the flow of resources and finding innovative and creative ways for, you know, children whose education have been disrupted by war, children who have been left behind, and how do you find, as I said, innovative approaches and ways in order to for them to catch up and to move forward. So I think we've got a few examples around the continent where a combination of political commitment, resources, working innovatively and creatively with donors and a whole range of partners means that we can move forward to educate children and to educate girls.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about your tour here. Will you be only in Juba, or you'll have the opportunity to go to other parts of the country to, you know, also visit some states if and all that will happen?
I think that is going to be in the hands of our ambassador to work out exactly where he wants us to go. But you know, it's just wonderful to be here again. This is my second visit to South Sudan. I was here 10 years ago, and it's just wonderful to be back in Africa again. We really, you know, it's really great to be here.
Great. As we talk about education particularly, gender-based violence, women equality is also one of, you know, the biggest challenges are happening here in South Sudan. Is there anything the UK is doing to support, you know, let's come to, you know, basically equality and you know, addressing issues of GBV.
For the British government, issues around gender-based violence and indeed violence in the context of conflict is a hugely important area for us as well. And as you can imagine, complements all the work that's been done on girls' education. So we do a whole range of interventions and support here, from looking at the effectiveness of mechanisms, for example, mm-hmm. In the law. For any kind of redress for women who have experienced gender-based violence. We're doing work as well to, on women, peace and security issues as well. Trying to really to get to the bottom of what's driving the violence and what kind of mechanisms that we can put in place and to make those more effective so that mm-hmm. women feel that they've got some redress at all, when they've been violated.
Great. Now, Helen, just let's begin with you before you go. Any final messages and remarks when it comes to, girls' education and your visit here in South Sudan? What would you like to tell us?
It's wonderful to be back here again, and I think this is a country with enormous potential, passionate people, but there are many challenges that need to be overcome, economic, educational, climate and the environment I know are big issues, but they do need to be managed and addressed. And I do think as well it's crucial that the government leads and funds quality sustainable services that are accessible for all. And I think this is very, very important too for South Sudan's long-term success.
Thank you. And Alicia, your final remarks, please.
Yes, absolute pleasure to be here this morning talking about issues of women and girls, talking about issues of gender equality. I can't think of anything more important that you probably had on your show now or indeed for all of today. Like Helen, really looking forward to the rest of this visit to learn more about South Sudan and what very small role that we can play just with our visit here of a few days in order to advance these issues at all levels, political as well as at the community level.
Alicia and Helen, thank you so much for coming to Mirai Studios. We do appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.